I'd like now to welcome Carolyn Fairman. She is the executive director of Coffee Kids, and Kyle Friend joins us from Coffee Kids as well. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We haven't had you on for a while, Carolyn. Tell us about Coffee Kids, for those who've never heard of this wonderful local nonprofit organization.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it has been a while, and I always appreciate the opportunity to let folks in Santa Fe know about us. We're called Coffee Kids, and we're located here in Santa Fe, but we're an international nonprofit that works with coffee farming communities in Latin America. And what we do is address poverty issues. A lot of folks don't realize the level of poverty for coffee farmers. Most coffee farmers earn about 3 cents a pound for the coffee they pick by hand. So what Coffee Kids does, I've got to take a breath, is work with communities that are primarily coffee farming communities, addressing poverty issues, quality of life issues, to implement development projects that directly confront these problems. So we work in healthcare. Often it's traditional medicine in indigenous communities.
Like local traditional medicine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we work with education, so scholarships to students, grants to elementary schools. We work in women's community banking and microcredit so that women have an economic opportunity and they can provide an income for the family. So
I love it how microcredit is always linked with women.
It mm-hmm. is. It is. One of the reasons, actually, a lot of our projects do focus a lot on women, not exclusively, but primarily because what we've learned over the years, and we've been around for 20 years, is that when you give women an opportunity in these communities, you really see amazing results. And there are also communities where women don't have the same opportunity that men do. So to get back to how it relates to coffee, is that coffee is not a year-round income. It's about 3, maybe 5 months out of the year. And again,
just because of the growing season.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the rest of the year is just spent nurturing your crop, but you're not earning any income. So what microcredit does is pretty multifaceted. One is that it provides women with an opportunity to contribute economically to the family. So they'll take out a small loan and they'll create their own small business. And it's something related to their local economy. So it might be chicken raising or making and selling tortillas, something that's needed in their own community. So it provides an income that supplements the income from coffee, but also provides income the rest of the year when there is no money coming in from coffee. So sort of the threefold, helping women, helping families year-round, and supplementing when there is no income from coffee.
What are some of the other kinds of income?
From microcredit?
Yeah.
It's just been really varied. There's a woman in Nicaragua who realized that when it was time for the kids to go back to school, they all needed haircuts. So she opened a little salon just in her little home. And there's been...
So you gave her microcredit to buy a pair of scissors?
And a chair.
That is a sort of low startup cost business.
It is, you know, and we laugh about that, but it really is that simple. So, you know, these are folks, you go into their homes, and they give you the one chair that they actually own. You know, they're pretty humble homes. And so buying a chair, buying a pair of scissors is a pretty big deal, and a mirror.
Right.
You know, and in terms of the education, for example, something as simple as not being able to afford a pair of shoes to be able to walk to and from school or pencils can keep a child from going to school. Mm-hmm. So these scholarships are really beneficial.
Yeah, I mean, like when you figure a lot of the people are living on $2 a day in a lot of these communities, you really realize, you know, $4 loan or something to that effect, you know, something like $50 can make a complete difference in what they're, you know, able to do and what they're able to enact.
Mm-hmm. Now, you people from Coffee Kids, you staff members, travel to these areas yourselves. You, Kyle, went to, was it Oaxaca?
Yeah, I just went
recently?
To Oaxaca at the end of November. And we have a partner, because we partner with local organizations, and they do all of the training, all of the work. We provide the resources to help them get that done. And our partner, COMPO, it's an acronym, but I won't go into what it all stands for right now. They do a lot of, like, indigenous rights work, a lot of sustainable, organic gardening techniques, permaculture techniques in the community. And they work with 52 different villages in the mountains surrounding Oaxaca, Mexico. And a lot of them are the coffee-producing families. So they recently, and over the past 3 years, have been working on a training center that Coffee Kids helped fund, which they have kind of 25 different projects they promote. Composting, you know, composting latrines, using worms for compost, animal husbandry, all sorts of different things, water catchment systems. So they're trying to put together a center that would put all of these in one place so that families could come and take advantage and learn about them and, you know, see all of them working as a cohesive system.
Do you find that when you do projects like this, I mean, you provide seed money and a certain amount of information, that the projects then kind of have a life of their own and you don't have to nurture them so much anymore?
Quite often that's the goal anyway. And one of the pieces about Coffee Kids that I'm most proud of is that we partner with these organizations like Compo that Kyle was talking about for the long term, you know, 10 years on average. Because we recognize that it takes a long time for a project to really do more than take seed, but to really flourish.
So, and I would think for people to really take ownership of the ideas.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why it's also important that the ideas come from the community members themselves. So we're not coming into a community and introducing some new idea of what we think would be a good idea. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so...
But you kind of are, otherwise you wouldn't be doing it.
No, the ideas all come from our partners. The only way that they might come from us in a way is that we could talk to one partner organization like Compo about what another organization that we support is doing. And if they're interested in learning more about that type of project, then we would fund them to have an exchange with one another so they could learn from each other about that project and potentially implement it for themselves. But what I was saying before is that one of the things that our partners have learned about us and our consistency and our integrity is that if a project isn't working for whatever reason, that we're not going to just pull the funding and walk away. We're going to work with them to figure out what went wrong and how could we maybe change the project or improve it so that they don't feel intimidated if we come to a visit and they have a vegetable gardening project and there's no crops growing. So mm-hmm. we can really work that through, and they don't have to be afraid of that.
And you've seen that happen. You've
Absolutely.
Gone through all
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's got to be kind of room for error, because, you know, otherwise everyone's scrambling to show off and give you a good show.
Yeah, and then it's not real.
You know, no. And it's kind of like, you know, you got to stick kind of through with it and see a generational change almost at times in order for some of these ideas that are kind of foreign to really hit home and get taken up, I think.
And we have seen that as well, and being around for 20 years. For example, in the microcredit project, we started in Veracruz, Mexico in 1995. And the project began with about, you know, maybe 10 women, eventually 100 women. And the idea behind the microcredit project that we support is that the women have to demonstrate an ability to save money before they can take out a loan. The loan is about $50 to start, maybe $100 eventually. And they're saving maybe as little as 50 cents a week. So in 1995, there was, by the end of the year, maybe 100 women. They hadn't saved any money yet. Today, there are men, women, and children all saving money. There's over 4,000 participants. They've collectively saved over $700,000. So we're seeing that impact, but we're also seeing that children are learning from their parents, and they're creating this culture of saving money for their future.
Very interesting. I mean, as we know from the volatility of the economies in Latin America, saving money has historically not always been an adaptive thing to do in the first place.
I think we all find it difficult.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, the less you have, I think, the harder it is. Mm-hmm. Where are you going to come up with 50 cents?
And also, I mean, in a time of inflation,
a
your 50 cents might be worth more today than it is tomorrow. And I mean, I know many people who just have this ingrained idea that you're better off spending it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, these children have really learned what it can do to save the money, because when there is no income from coffee, for example, they are actually putting food on the table
right.
when their neighbors might not be.
Yeah.
Now, we know from the names of coffee, you know, Colombian coffee and Costa Rican and Kenyan and all, there's coffee grown in a lot of different places. Where are you guys active?
Well, right now we're in 5 countries. We're in Mexico, southern Mexico, like Oaxaca and Chiapas and Veracruz. And then we're also in Guatemala, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, and Peru.
Okay.
And we're kind of, you know, a little bit limited because we take a, you know, a very slow time. It's almost like a courting, you know, ritual to get together with a new partner. Because since we are such a long-term supporter, you know, we want to make sure the fit is right, that they really are, you know, going, you know, working the way that we aspire to work, supporting local communities where it's coming from the villages instead of, you know, from some organization.
And just to clarify a little bit, when we say the word partner, it's the local, say, nonprofit organization or maybe the social arm of a coffee cooperative within that region. They provide all the technical resources and know-how, training, follow-through to the community members. So we don't do any of that ourselves. So that's why our partner relationship is so critical. There needs to be transparency and good communication so that we really understand how each other works and that we're a good fit for one another. And we visit that partner every year. We have a program staff that's their job is to maintain communication and visit each of our partners. In fact, our program staff is in Peru right now, visiting our partners there, but also researching new potential partners to work with because there's, of course, so much need in Peru.
So in Peru, for example, would one organization that you've partnered with for 10 years themselves go talk to a new community?
Often that is what happens is, or it's the community members themselves is what happens is they start to see what their neighbors are up to and that they've, you know, for example, there's a project in Chiapas, Mexico that grows, cultivates mushrooms, edible mushrooms, and it's a whole new food source for them. So, and it's delicious. So they've started to grow these mushrooms and then they are eating them and their neighbors come and see that they have this amazing new food source and want to buy the mushrooms for their own use. So then they can teach their neighbors how they can grow them themselves. Mm-hmm. So it just expands and then, you know, so the next community over starts to grow and harvest the mushrooms. So a lot of times what happens with Coffee Kids with any project is we begin working, you know, with one, two, three communities. And then they've sustained the project for themselves, and these other new communities now want to do the project, so our money can now go to new communities and expand.
We're talking to Carolyn Fairman and Kyle Friend from Coffee Kids. And by the way, you're having an open house at Coffee Kids.
We are. We're sort of moving up in the world, maybe. We got a new office space last November that we're pretty excited about. So we're inviting everyone to come on over and get to know a little bit more about us.
And when and where is that?
It's this next, it'll be Thursday the 29th from 4:30 to 7, and the address is 1751 Calle Medico, Suite K.
Oh, and that's over just sort of near the hospital.
It is.
Yep, just off of Old Pecos Trail and Arroyo Chamizo in that neighborhood.
Yeah, so we'd love to have you come on by and learn a little bit more about us.
And have some coffee?
Have some coffee. Mm-hmm. That's going to be provided by
Java Joe's in town.
Now, we've heard a lot about fair trade coffee. What is fair trade coffee and how does that relate, if it does, to what you guys are doing?
Fair trade coffee is a premium coffee. So there are various kinds of premiums. There's organic, there's fair trade, there's shade grown, there's bird friendly. These are all ways that the farmer can get a little bit more money for their coffee. And so it's a marketing mechanism to try to get more money to the farmers themselves. All of these efforts are, you know, really important and very helpful. Unfortunately, none of them reach everybody. None of them are enough, just as Coffee Kids by itself is not enough. So I would say that we complement these other kind of premium type marketing developments, but we actually have nothing to do with the commercialization of coffee. So we're outside of that. We don't buy it or sell it.
Right.
But most of our funding comes from coffee drinkers and coffee businesses as a way to give back to the coffee community.
Now, how does that work? Coffee drinkers and coffee producers, coffee shops and so on.
Well, there are many ways that you can support Coffee Kids. So an individual can just give a donation of as little as $25, and keeping in mind that $25 is half a loan to a woman.
Right.
It can change her entire economic future. And then there's business members who pay $300 a year and are members of Coffee Kids. And then there are larger corporations that give corporate grants. We get some money from foundations. And so, again, it's...
It'd be great if every cup of coffee sold in Santa Fe, one penny of it went to you guys.
Mm-hmm. That
would
be a
lot of pennies.
It really would. Yeah. There are so many different ways that businesses give to us. Some of them do things like employee payroll deductions. So a coffee business might have their staff donate a dollar a paycheck, and that adds up, you know, considerably.
Right.
Some people do a coin drop in their coffee shop. Others do a percentage of sales. So they might have a particular brand of coffee and they give 1 cent or 5 cents per pound of that coffee that they sell to coffee kids.
Yeah, it's really how like kind of creative you want to be, however you want to work it. We also do kind of commercial agreements with some larger companies too, where they can put our logo on their packaging and kind of display their support of coffee kids and sustainable communities.
Do the children of coffee growers tend to grow up to be coffee growers themselves?
They do. And so one of the things that, for example, the Education Project is trying to do is recognize the culture of growing coffee and honor that culture, but give kids another opportunity so they might have more than that. And in these scholarship programs, one of the ways that they repay their scholarship, not to coffee kids, we don't give loans, we only give grants, but to pay back to the local organization that does provide the scholarship is to work in their local cooperative. So they're learning skills in the job market right away, and a lot of them become teachers, so they come back to their community and teach the kids in their community. They become agronomists so that they know a little bit more about the farming. And generally speaking, what we see is that they do return to their communities and try to improve the quality of life within their community with their education.
We've got just a minute or two left. Anything else you want to leave us with before we go?
Boy, that's really wide open.
Well, we encourage everyone to come and learn more about us, and you're welcome to check our website, which is www.coffeekids.org. Give us a call. We're always happy to talk to you, and we're right here. So come on by our office anytime, and please come to the open house.
And maybe most importantly, Carol and I are making cookies and bread and cake for the open house. So,
refreshments. I'll see you there.
Yeah, so caffeine and sugar.
Two of the five food groups.
Exactly.
Okay, well, Carolyn Fairman, Executive Director of Coffee Kids, and Kyle Friend. And don't forget, the open house at Coffee Kids is this Thursday, the 29th of January, from 4:30 to 7 at their office, their new office at 1751 Calle Medico, Suite A.
K.
K.
Suite K. That's right. I can write.
It's okay.
K like Kyle.
Sweet K.
Kyle.
K like coffee.
K like coffee. Coffee, yeah.
Anyway, we're going to take a little break right now, and Linda Siegel is going to be with us in just a moment. Please stay tuned to KSFR.